Welcome back, everyone, to Check the Stats, your weekly sports podcast with Hamza, Deep.
What's good?
Harry.
Yo.
Dodge.
What up?
Thank you for being normal this time.
You're welcome, bud.
Two strikes in the past two episodes.
I'll choose my third wisely.
And we're getting deep into playoffs. Saw some great matches, and I think we're going to go ahead and start with the West Conference, starting off with the Suns-Pelicans, which is becoming an interesting series, I think. Pelicans won a very, very hard game with the leadership of Ingram.
D-Book was balling
out. No, D-Book now. So what's
31
happen?
In the first half.
What's going to happen now?
I don't think he's out for, like, he's out for next game?
Out for two more games. Three and game four.
I think going to be careful with him.
Right?
Even if, like, I don't know if they have, like, a schedule yet for when he's coming back, but, I mean, it's a hamstring. So we all know how bad a hamstring injury is for, like, a basketball player. That's pretty much affects everything you do on the court.
Exactly.
I think if he comes back this series, he still won't be 100%. Mm-hmm. So this series just turned into, like,
well, they have to battle
a series
it out
now, right? Yeah, I don't think we thought it was a series before, and now this could go to 6-7, maybe.
But, like,
with Ingram playing like that? I think the Pelicans shot 57% from the field overall. So if the Pelicans play like that, there's not many teams that could beat them.
I think the chances for Pelicans to win the series just went up. Because Chris Paul and Bridges are not, maybe with Aiden, but, like, I don't think they're going to beat the Pelicans. We all took the Suns, but even, like, for DeAndre Ayton, he's not putting the same numbers up, and that's against Valanciunas.
Valanciunas has been decent.
Yeah.
Valanciunas is playing nice.
He is.
He had a double-double, 13-10.
The Pelicans could definitely stun people. I mean, they have the talent. I mean, CJ McCollum is experienced. He's been here before in the playoffs, so he did what he had to do, and I think this was, just like you said, this is Ingram's time to take over, and that's what exactly what he did.
McCollum was nice in the first half.
He was nice the whole game.
Ingram took over, and that's why I gave Ingram the second half.
What do you mean you gave Ingram the second half? Like, who asked you to give anything?
I'm just saying. In that sense.
But Chris Paul low-key sold, so on shots.
It's not every game he's going to close out like that, what he did in game one, right?
Well, still
he's 35, 36? Yeah. He's not going to do that every game.
He should be shooting better than that in a series like this.
Without Devin Booker, this is definitely going to go 6-7.
31%.
And it could go either way if he doesn't return.
Only two jumpers from mid-range? That's not like Chris Paul. He's been shooting good this season. But 14 assists, I mean, it's still something.
I mean, the Pelicans have just had momentum the whole game. CP couldn't get into rhythm. I mean, even before Devin Booker got hurt, like when he had 31 and stuff, the Pelicans were only down like a couple points. It wasn't like they were getting blown out. So
Zion,
I think we just gotta give credit to New Orleans.
Zion wants to come back too, but they not letting him. I don't think that would help.
I don't think they're gonna bring Zion back.
Yeah, that would not help at all.
Yeah, I mean, like it could obviously just because Zion's that good, but like why?
I think I'm gonna go ahead and change my pick to the Pelicans.
Yeah,
I don't believe in the Suns no more. Now without Booker,
we have to see when he comes back. He ruled out for two or three games at least,
And it's indefinitely for now. With a hamstring injury, that could be tough. Even when it's still hurt, so his time might get limited. But he most likely wants to play. But
let's move on to the next West matchup: Grizzlies versus Wolves. Series now 1-1. Was that first game a fluke for the Wolves, or is this gonna be a long series?
Wolves got caught in the chimney.
They did.
Bears went out for a smoke and found them there. It was it was most likely a fluke, bro.
So you don't think the Wolves are gonna win?
Another game or two at least.
I want to say they're gonna win one more game, but like when the Grizzlies play like that, and like they've been doing that pretty much all year long. Like John Morant didn't even have 30. He averages a lot of points. So if him to not even have 30 and the Grizzlies destroyed him by like 30 points, that's a good team right there. I don't think the Wolves can replicate that. I think Ant got really hot that first game. Cat was playing alright. And then Cat definitely didn't show up in the second game either. D'Lo didn't show up. D'Lo's never been known as a consistent player though. So I feel like the Grizzlies just have more pieces.
it was also Beasley showing up in that first game where they won, and I don't think he.
I think they were motivated that game because, you know, they were the crazy underdogs and stuff.
They didn't even drop 100 points.
But Memphis adjusted in one game. You know, they have a really good coach, nominated for Coach of the Year, so he made great adjustments.
Josh slowed down on his shots. He had less points, but he had way more assists. He was dishing out the ball because they were all
how
doubling
it
be. Them in
the
first
in game. Playoffs is how it should be.
Strapping them up.
If your star is going to get doubled, which, you know, majority of the time they do, then his assists should go up. That means somebody's open. And we know the Grizzlies are a deep squad, so if somebody's open, then they're definitely going to hit that shot. They're all capable shooters.
It's very dynamic for both teams. They're using everybody. Everybody's, like, scoring. Everybody's grabbing rebounds, doing something. For both teams, it's not like just one or two man's kind of plays.
I think we said this, though, before the playoffs started, that the Grizzlies are not experienced enough to probably sweep the Wolves just because, you know, impossible. They've never been in a playoff situation. I can't see them winning another game. I think Grizzlies win in five.
I was thinking like 4-2.
It's possible.
At this point. I mean, Kat only had 15 points. Anthony Edwards can easily go for like 30. Yeah. But on the other side of the ball, yeah, so can
but if he goes for 30, what the rest of the team has to show up to. D'Lo, Kat especially.
D'Lo will have a game or two. But, I mean, I don't see it happening. They definitely don't have a chance of winning the series. But I don't know. I don't know what this is going to mean because... If Minnesota can't win with the team they have right now, like...
No, their team is not good, bro. What do you mean?
No, but it's been so long.
Minnesota
like it just has
or,
been
or
so,
Memphis?
I'm talking about Minnesota. It's been so long that Cat's just been kind of like...
They want a playoff game. It's pretty impressive, honestly. I'm not going to lie. Especially being the first one with the Grizzlies. Like the Grizzlies have a way better squad from like 1 to 10, 1 to 12. After the three players on the Timberwolves, who's the fourth best player? Pat Bev? I'm actually asking, who's the fourth best player? Like, I'm trying to think, Beasley, Pat Bev,
D'Lo, like, Vanderbilt.
Who? Nah, like that's why the Grizzlies are better. That's what I'm saying. Like,
Naz Reid.
It's pretty Naz Reid, bro.
T Prince, bro.
It's pretty impressive that they've even got this far. Like, no, I don't think we thought they were gonna get into the playoffs this year and win a game. So they got a good core. I like Kat and D'Lo and. If Ant can develop into like a superstar, you know, Kat and D'Lo are definitely a good 2 and 3.
Yeah.
So let's see if the Wolves can build around them. I mean, we haven't seen that they can do that in the past like 20 years, but now they have a good core again.
Also, I think they won without Steven Adams doing much in the past two games. He hasn't been there too.
That's crazy
it's a
too.
Big piece for them. This whole season has been a big piece.
Next, Western matchup. Mavericks versus Jazz, 4 and 5 seed. Luka still has not played a game. I think it's unclear whether he'll play game 3. It's possible, right?
Or 4.
You guys think?
I don't know. I don't think he's going to come back for 3.
I think if the Mavericks lose this game, he'll probably play game 4. If the Mavericks win this game and go up 2-1, they'll probably just rest him until like game 5 or game 6.
I mean...
That makes the most sense, right?
Yeah,
all you're trying to do is give your superstar the most amount
of most
amount of time. That's what I'm saying. That's why I just said if they win,
what's the problem with that, right?
So
he's getting better.
What do we think is going to happen?
I mean, the timetables for him is questionable, but they're saying he's getting better. So what I was not expecting in that game is Jalen Brunson. Dropping that many points and actually like helping to win. It could be a fluke too. So
because it's definitely not going to be Dinwiddie stepping up. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Brunson is crazy. I did not think he had that in him. I've always thought he was good. Like when you watch him throughout the season, he's a good role player who's smart. He doesn't make like you know a lot of dumb plays. Like if he's not scoring, it's probably just because he's in bad matchups. He's not known for being a. Low IQ player with stupid turnovers, but I didn't think he had 41 points in him, especially in the playoffs. So I know the Mavs are happy about that. I don't know if he's in a contract year. I think he is. I think he's a free agent after this year. So I think they're probably going to give him the bag. Because some other team in the league would definitely give him money after this kind of performance. Yeah. So I think the Mavs are pretty happy going into the next game 1-1 without a superstar. But again, a calf strain is not good. That's hard to come back from, especially when you have a game every 2 days. So
With all that weight he's been this putting on, too.
A very, very interesting series, even though it doesn't have, you know, like the nationwide appeal, right? Like the Nets, Celtics, or like something like that. Just because it's small market teams, but I feel like the series is going to go 6 or 7, too.
It's possible. I don't know why Mitchell has not been playing as
like,
good.
If the Jazz were a real team, real contender, they would be blowing out the Mavs.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have their superstar. And you cannot let Jalen, like, if you're the Utah Jazz, if you're the coaching staff, you're like, you cannot let Jalen Brunson go off for 41 points, right? Like, that's what they're thinking. Especially with Gobert.
And grabbing rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, it's all perimeter, but when you're playing against the Mavericks without a superstar, you're like, we're not letting up that many points.
He's averaging 7 rebounds, too.
I don't know. It's him crazy.
In the playoffs. Maxi?
Yeah. Kepler? Kleber or whatever.
He went off. He had 27.
That Maxi.
That's sorry, his first name. Bro. It is Maxi Kleber.
Maxi, yeah.
Maxi Kleber.
Of course, Maxi will come first. Yeah. Go ahead. So, okay, we'll get to the
series.
Sixers.
It's a good series, but let's move on to the next one.
Golden State.
Warriors and Nuggets. I think this one is
sealed.
I want to say it's sealed, right? It's 22-0, but the way they won that game, what was that, like 20 minutes of them just going like insane? Probably the best stretch of the Warriors offense we've seen all season and defense.
They can drop like 20 points in 3 minutes.
And now people are saying that's their death lineup.
Yep.
With whatever lineup was in that game when they went on that crazy run.
Jordan Poole.
They had the whole Nuggets team in shambles, fighting on the sidelines. Jokic looked like he was pissed off. He wasn't taking anything from anybody. I think the series is over. I think Warriors are just too good that other teams don't know what to do, and they get in their own heads. And
yeah. Plus with the injuries that they have, too.
Yeah, with Steph Curry coming off the bench, too, in both those games. It's just great coaching, great drafting, great front office. Look at Jordan Poole. Like, who would have thought Jordan Poole would be doing this 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Who would have thought, like, they would keep this core this whole time from, like, 10 years ago? You'd be like, yeah, they're still playing for the team and they're competing for a title.
He's a leader in this series. He's for this series, he's averaging 29.5. So.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. It's so wild to me.
So, do you guys think the Warriors are now the favorites in the West?
Yeah.
Over the Grizzlies? Over the Suns?
I would take that.
Over the Suns with a hurt D-Book.
Yes.
Even if he comes back, he's not going to be 100%. No. And nobody's 100% in the playoffs.
There's always that one thing that happens to the Suns, and I think it's going to be that.
Last year was Chris Paul right before the finals, and technically in the first round too, but this year it's D-Book. It's tough. But, I mean, the Suns, we've seen through the whole year, they are good enough to beat teams without their star. They went on that crazy run without CP3. They went on a run without D-Book. But are you going to go on that run against the Warriors in 7 games? Against the Grizzlies in 7 games without D-Book? I think we could see that's possible. But that D-Book injury is really, really big. And the Warriors looking like that now, playing the best basketball of the year. It's unfortunate. Unfortunate for Phoenix. But I'm taking Golden State. You think Nuggets will pull out one game? I feel like it might just be a sweep now.
It's very hard.
I don't know.
It's very hard because
Denver at home is tough, though.
Yeah.
They have a good crowd, and, you know, if Jokic has one masterclass game, they could pull it out.
One game.
But even if they win one game, it's clip. Like, they're not winning the series. So I think we can basically write them off.
You could see the frustration in the team and the coach. They don't know what the hell to do.
They can't. It's not like, even if they knew what to do, they couldn't do it because, like, they're just not good enough.
They just don't have,
Aaron Gordon and Will Barton are not matching up to Clay, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Draymond, Gary Payton, Looney. Like, the Nuggets just don't have that depth right now with no MPJ, no Murray.
They can't hold a lead.
It's a next year situation for the Nuggets.
That's their worst problem. They cannot hold a lead. Same thing with the Jazz.
They might get it in the first half, but then they'll get gassed out by the second, and the Warriors are just eating them up from three.
Because the team goes how Jokic goes. If Jokic even has, like, 3 bad possessions in a row, then, I mean, the Nuggets are not recovering from that. There's no one to bring them out of the slumps.
Yeah.
There's only one person, so, I mean, it's not their year, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that last game, I mean, the second guy was Morris, and the first game was Barton, so...
It's not consistent.
I saw you
against Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond.
That's all we got to say, man. It's just, just not a good enough roster.
Exactly.
And let's move on to the East. A little bit more interesting. We'll go. We'll start with the one seed Heat versus the Hawks. 2-0 lead, I believe, over the Hawks. The Hawks looked a little more competitive in the second game.
I don't know, bro. Trae Young is kind of pissing me off.
Yeah.
No.
He started off 1-for-12 in the first game, and then what did he do in the second game? Looking at the stats, it's just the Heat is way better at everything.
They have that X factor over them.
Still, those stats not coming through.
Unfortunately.
For him. I mean, one bucket made in the first game, and then 50% going 10-for-20 in the second. It's not good enough, bro. 2-for-10 on three-pointers.
Yeah, not much to say about that series.
I mean, the things he's been doing in the regular season, he can't do it in the playoffs now. So that's kind of... That's not going to get them anywhere against the Heat, which is a very scrappy team. And with Butler going off like that, they can't do any damage. I think they're going to get swept.
Easy. You know, I was thinking that kind of about the Nets, too, how, like, they did well here and there, and they were going off in the regular season. Now it's kind of like...
Were they ever going off? They were the one seed when KD was healthy, but then...
When they were out here dropping 40 points, 50 points, all that.
But that was like one or two games here and there. The series, the whole season has been insanely turbulent, bro. Like, you're the one seed, then your star gets hurt, and then Harden requests a trade. And then it's just the superstarless Nets playing, and then Kyrie gets reinstated to play only away games. And then eventually, when there's like five games left in the season, he can play home games. And Ben Simmons still hasn't played.
All right.
It's been a completely insane year, but that was a bad loss. Game two was a terrible, terrible loss. We've seen teams come back from 0-2, but it's very hard. It's like 7% of teams, 8% of teams have ever come back from down 0-2. I don't know if I'm right about this, but I think the last time someone did it, I could be wrong, was maybe LeBron against these younger Celtics. When we remember that, it was a 7-game series. LeBron brought him back. You have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, right? There's always a chance to come back from down 0-2. You got to win two games at home, and then after that, I don't know, man. Completely outcoached. Their coach was on our coaching staff last year. So he knows our team. He's really, really good at setting up defensive schemes. He is harassing KD with whatever team defense he set up. KD doesn't even know what to do. Like, I've never seen him play this like rushed, this sped up, this unaware of, you know, like what a defense is doing. He doesn't know. I don't know. I've never seen him this discombobulated. He's in the lane trying to run full speed past a defender, and then when the second defender is coming, he usually passes the ball pretty quickly, right? Or shoots it like on time. But he'll be running past into the second defender and then gets the ball stripped, or he turns around, you know, like gets bodied and then loses the ball. He's had way more turnovers in these first two games than we're definitely used to seeing him. We saw him get 10 assists against the Cavs, bro. And tonight, he only had five or six assists. When you're getting doubled or tripled every single play, there's always somebody open on your team then, right? He should have had at least 10 assists. And that's where we see LeBron, right? That's where we see Steph Curry affect the game. When they're getting doubled or tripled, like, they're getting 10 assists. That's where we see, you know, James Harden. That's when he used to get doubled and tripled, he used to get 10 assists because they know how to pass out of a double team. And we've seen KD do that this season, but I don't know what the game plan is, what Steve Nash is telling KD to do, or why he's handling the ball up top when you have Dragic, when you have Kyrie, when you have Patty Mills. Why is Kevin Durant handling the ball every possession, especially when he's turning the ball over? Honestly, it's just we've gone outcoached. That's it. The team was not ready. The team was not prepared. The Celtics team looks hungry, and I think that's why I said before, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Coach of the Year, I said the Celtics coach is up there because the way the Celtics are playing, the way they're playing defense, and this is exactly how they're playing at the end of the year, right? They're playing number one defense, so...
Do they come back and win it?
I mean, I believe they can because they have the talent, right? But Do they have the heart? Do they have the heart? Do they have, you know, the balls? Do they have the good, the right coaching? Are they going to have the right rotations? Are they going to make the right decisions at the end of the game? They were up 17 points. Durant turns the ball over four times, and Dragic still didn't get subbed in when he had 16 points in the first half. Does that make any sense? When he has 16 points in the first half, he's a veteran, he's a ball handler, and he didn't play a single minute in the entire third quarter. He didn't play a single minute in the third quarter after dropping 16 points in the first half.
Yeah, he was balling.
Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense to you? That's all I have to say, really, man. That's just, it just tells you this team was not ready. This team got punked. No cap. This team got punked. They looked like straight, like, not ready. No heart. Celtics just played hungrier. I said, if you got to win two games at home, if you don't even win one game at home, series is over. That's it. And if we're relying on Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons will help you on defense, but he's not helping you on offense, bro. He'll give you assists, but you have to make the open shots. And there are no open shots because Nash is not scheming anybody open. We've seen so many other teams. We see the Warriors getting players schemed open. We see the Heat scheming players open. The Celtics, sometimes Grant Williams is open. Jaylen Brown gets open three. Like, I feel like we didn't see any open shots for the Nets in the second half, which means they didn't run any plays. That's just what I think happened in the game. They got punked.
Man, for Ben Simmons, it's up to him now to come back. They're giving him that decision. He can't come back, but if he does, he will help on defense. That's what we need. Because in this last game, I mean, they held the lead for the whole game, and they just gave it up towards the end. It was a fluke game by KD, probably, like, going, when did he ever go fucking 0 for 10?
When has he ever gone 0 for 10 in the second half? He literally just had the worst game of his entire career. He had a terrible game in the first game, and then, you know, everybody said, you know, me too included. I thought this was going to happen. Off a bad game, KD's going to, he averages like this is a real stat. Off of a bad playoff game or a loss, he comes back the next game averaging 40 points or 41 points. So everybody's like, oh yeah, KD's going to have a crazy bounce back game and all that. And the Celtics coach was ready for that. He had the defense ready.
Yeah.
Every time he touched the ball, it was 2-3 guys getting hands on KD. So
that's part of the
and
other
he just
thing.
Looked, he just looked like he was not ready for that. Like, we've seen LeBron handle that kind of pressure like it was nothing. Just keep passing the ball, keep moving the ball. And KD is just getting out physical. He's getting bumped and he's losing the ball, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that
the thing about that is they're just fouling him. That's their whole game plan, is to foul him.
They are fouling him sometimes, but a lot of the times it's just playoff physicality, and he just looks like he's not ready for it. Like, we've seen him deal with playoff physicality before. He just seems quicker, right? He seems like he's thinking one step ahead of the defense. You're going to double me, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this move. Just doesn't seem like he's moving at that speed right now, and I still have faith in him that in the next game he's going to adjust, right? He has to adjust. He's an all-time player.
That is what's going to happen, though.
But the way they lost this game, man, they're never going to live this down. We are never going to live this down as Mets supporters. Like, it's brutal. Brutal loss.
It's also because it's in Boston. But I think he's most likely going to adjust. It's just, I told you, they were following him a lot to the point where Horford had fouled out and he took 18 free throws. So that was their game plan. It was just hit KD, basically. And the refs... Some of the fouls, the refs stopped calling them because it was three guys.
They're playing in Boston. The crowd is behind them. They're not going to call. They're not going to call every foul because they're going to get harassed by the fans.
Yeah, it's all that.
I think we will see the series refereed a little bit differently in Brooklyn.
Definitely,
they're not going to be giving. They're not going to let the Celtics play as physical as they were in those two games. Come on, yeah. Like,
but it is playoffs.
They're
they
playing
physical,
and you were allowed.
Yeah,
you were allowed to, but. Okay,
we saw
a lot of times that they called fouls because, you know, they were like elbowing and keeping their hands too high, and they were actually like pushing KD away from getting the ball. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, no, I remember.
And like they're calling fouls on that, but there are some plays that like they're definitely not going to let slide when they're refereeing in Brooklyn. I promise you.
Home games matter.
The home crowd definitely affects the refs. Yeah. If people don't think that's true, it definitely is.
Even getting to Kyrie. And even
Kyrie had an all-time terrible game, but he always has a bad game against the Celtics. Like, there's always one bad game that he has. So I think he got it out of the way.
That's okay.
I still have hope they can take it a 7.
But the, f-
That first game is a fluke.
I don't know if they can win it in the seventh game. I think they can get there.
If it's at home, they'll most likely win for
Game
seven is
not going to be home.
I know. But if it does go to...
All the Nets can do is win all the home games. That's all they can do, right?
So. Exactly. Because, like, I don't know. The first game was a fluke. Yeah, they won by one shot. KD wasn't playing good defense. They get...
And the second, second game was good up until the second half.
Exactly. They gave up. And Kyrie didn't have a good performance either. 31%.
Yeah. Not, it was just not optimal. But
yeah,
how many times did we see Kyrie touch the ball in the first half? Like barely. Right? He only had like five shots in the first half. And then the second half, KD is still handling the ball. And I didn't see one play like set a pick, run over this, go into the corner and then get Kyrie open. That didn't happen once. It was just bad play calls, man.
Could be the 13-hour fasting, bro.
Maybe, man. Maybe it gets to you. It definitely. I don't know. I guess one game he had one bad game during Ramadan. So
they both had like
I'm expecting a big bounce back. But exactly. Let's move on to the next Eastern series. I think this one's over. Philly, Toronto.
The fear of the beard.
As we are recording this podcast, like 20 minutes before.
Yeah.
Philadelphia took a 3-0 lead over the Raptors. Joel Embiid's game winner.
They sold.
Ridiculous shot. I don't know what to say. Todd, you want to say something?
I'll say something about the beard sitting out and not contributing nothing.
He was sitting out. He fouled out because he tried to play defense. Hey, man.
He almost sold the game, but you lucky Precious Achiuwa missed a free throw.
He did. He fucked up, but he helped us. So God is mysterious, but he has his ways. That shot, though, by Embiid, come on. He shot the same shot right before OT to not go in OT, bricked it, and then people were like, why is a 200-pound man taking a three-point shot when he can just easily take a layup?
The first one was way more contested. There was maybe two bodies on him, and the one he took in overtime, there was nobody even near him. I don't know what Precious was doing. But he didn't get over quick enough. It was literally a wide open shot.
In the past three games, you'll notice it. Players like Maxey and Harris are going off.
Yeah, is it fun for you being led by them?
Huh? No, but listen, if you're going to guard the two main threats,
your role players have to go off.
They're killing it. And look at the shots they're getting. It's not like contested shots. It's wide open shots.
The entire game, the Sixers did not have a lead to like...
No, this game was different.
And I think that's the first game in Toronto. That's what I'm saying. So when you're doing...
You have that defensive presence.
When you can't win dominantly against this team with no Scottie Barnes, I don't think the Sixers are winning a ring this year. Yeah. I know it's an exaggeration, but they're literally playing the Raptors without Scottie Barnes and a sick Gary Trent, and they went to overtime.
They could have had it that last game. Just horrible pass at the end.
With the Sixers. It doesn't matter if Thibault is there or not. The Raptors are literally nobodies.
You're not coming
Gary,
back.
The Sixers, a sick the Sixers, Gary the Trent had Sixers are 24
doing,
points.
The Sixers are doing what they need to do. They're beating the lesser team. But it's not that interesting of a series anymore. It's 3-0. Pretty much over. I don't think any team has come back from 3-0.
He's going for a sweep.
Yeah, everybody can say he's getting his comeback or revenge tour or something, but people do understand it's the first round, right?
Yeah, and I don't understand.
Kawhi beat them.
Why the fuck did
Kawhi beat
video?
Them? What was that? Is that second or was that conference? Was that the conference finals?
I think that
was
conference.
Second round. Regardless, that was a game seven game winner, and this was game three of the first round.
Revenge is revenge.
At this point, sub in Drake.
What you want to call revenge, I guess.
Sub in Drake. Sub in Six God, bro.
Once again. Like you said about the Nuggets series, I think the series is over.
That's the only one to save.
And we shall move on to the last matchup.
Bulls-Bucks.
Bulls-Bucks.
They are currently playing as we are recording this.
And the screen is frozen.
The Bulls are leading by 12.
We got a live stream sponsored by TNT.
Let's say the score holds. There's 10 minutes left in the fourth and the Bulls are up. It's going to be 1-1 after this game. Let's just assume it's 1-1.
The game looks like it's over.
Do you think Chicago has a chance, or is it just a bad game by Milwaukee?
Bad game by Milwaukee. Yeah, I think Milwaukee.
You think Bulls have no chance of getting through?
No.
Like dead ass zero chance?
No. They're up right now by 7.
I know. I'm saying to get the series.
No, that's not, what I mean. The series. They might win a game.
It's not maybe, seven. But. It's possible if they're up right now. And the last one, they held them down under 100 points. 93 to 86. I would expect a blowout from Milwaukee and how much praise they've been getting this whole season. Bobby Portis shooting.
Defensive teams are going crazy this year. DeRozan has 35 right now.
Giannis supposedly working on his three-pointer, and he just getting hit in the face by DeRozan.
Giannis has 26, but Middleton only has 16 right now.
DeMar DeRozan currently has...
That's probably why the Bucks are losing.
He has 33 points, and the fourth just started. Those kind of performances he was putting up in and out during the season, and he did go into a slump, but if DeRozan performs like that, hitting a and-one from mid-range, if he's shooting like that and not having days off in this playoffs, they can win. They thrive off him.
I just don't think Chicago's good enough. Oh, my God. I think in seven games, I don't think Chicago's good enough because we saw the Bucks go down 0-2 in the finals and still come back and win.
Hey, also, Valanciunas is not bad to guard Giannis.
Who's Valanciunas?
Huh?
Who's Valanciunas? Vucevic.
Oh, fuck. They all start with a V. Vucevic is not bad for guarding Giannis.
Nah, that's pretty bad. He's not that big, and he's not that fast.
He can also shoot. He's a shooter.
That's all he is. He's not a real big man.
But nah, he is. He's been grabbing.
I think this is just a bad game.
He's averaging like 8 to 10 rebounds.
Come on, bro.
It can happen.
The Bucks have way better bigs. They have Brook Lopez, Serge Ibaka, and Giannis.
Lopez hasn't
Who's
been
messing
as
with
good.
That? Who's messing with that?
Lopez hasn't been and as Bob good this Portis. Season. Bobby Portis is probably shooting better than Lopez this season. And they need that. They need a shooting center.
From the time I started this sentence to, I mean, this segment to the time it is now, looks like the Bulls are going to win this game. It's going to be 1-1. But
it's a big win.
Personally, I just don't think they can go 7,
doesn't,
man.
That's a that big doesn't win. Phase the Bucks.
It is
it's
a big,
big
win.
Win.
It is a big
in
win.
Milwaukee.
I agree. I
they
agree.
Came
I agree.
Back from 0-2 against the Suns.
Against the Suns, bro.
So this doesn't phase them.
Yeah. It's good. Now I'm happy,
year.
Though. It's going to be
team.
It's a good series now. You know, if they lost this game, it'd probably be... Probably
it's
close
it's
to over.
Both teams are different, bro. You can't even compare it to last season.
1-1, not bad. Not bad for the Bulls. Six seed, I know they're happy right now.
I mean, yeah, I see what you mean, but I think the Bulls' weakness is DeRozan not going off because they really follow his leadership and how they thrive off of him. So, but they got Crusoe back. I think if they had Lonzo, they would have had a better chance too. Mm. He's a big piece that's missing.
Good distribution.
Yeah, but then again, they're going to depend on Zach LaVine and DeRozan, especially DeRozan. Zach LaVine is always a second man, and he even admitted that through the season. So you see how the Bulls is basically structured. But yeah. A very interesting series. That's it. That does it for both conferences, right, for the playoffs? Mm-hmm. So far as the update. It's getting very interesting on both sides, I think, with all these games.
Yeah, pretty much all the series could go
either
far,
way,
except
yeah.
two of them, the Philly and the Nuggets series. I feel like every single one of them has potential
Philly,
to go far.
I feel so
Philly,
bad for
Nuggets
Jokic,
and Heat.
Murray yeah, could play true. In the fact that he's sitting out. I mean, I get that, but it's sad.
Yeah, I know that's true, but I mean, he tweeted out saying, like, y'all think I don't want to play or something like that. But yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. We can't officially judge him. I mean, like, I know we saw that report that he's cleared or something and doesn't trust something, that he doesn't want to come back. But even if he came back, I don't think they would have that crazy of a chance. They would have a way better chance.
He would have to go out of
because
his mind.
Because Jamal Murray, he didn't play a single game and he'd come back against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Not the best thing. So.
Very interesting playoffs. Yeah.
Clip.
I like it. Yeah. As always, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to share your opinions, thoughts, comments, you can find us on all social media platforms. Just look up Check the Stat with a 5 at the end. If you like this episode and would like to let us know what you think about the whole podcast, you can find us on all streaming platforms and leave a review there, possibly. This is Hamza, along with Deep, Harry, and Dodge.
Check the Stats.
Peace.